appreciate Larry taking care of things last week for morning service, and trust that you all have had a great Christmas and a great New Year's. And as we look forward to this next coming year, we have started to take, or really the last 2 years, and now this will be the third year, taking this Sunday to address the mission and the vision for the church as we continue to move forward. I was thinking, as Ben read this morning from the book of Psalms, chapter 96, and even as Dwayne has up on the screen as a background slide that he had there, but verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so as we think about our mission and our vision, those of you that maybe are visiting today or have not been here, maybe just the last few weeks or so, 51 weeks out of the year, typically you get an expository message through Scripture. But taking just our Sunday, the first Sunday in January, to talk about where we have been and where we hope to continue to go as we continue this desire that the psalmist talks about in verse 3, to declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? The Bible tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. And where there is no leadership, really that's talking about the leadership, is talking about the direction. The people have no desire, no ability to follow if there's no leadership. And so we're going to take some time today and just go through. We'll recap a little bit of what we've done the last couple of years, and then where we intend to go over this next year, and actually looking out over the next 3 years or so as we desire to continue looking at some things and working on some things, and allowing ourselves to be able to be used by God as we continue on this mission that John even sang about, that all those who would come behind us, may they have found us faithful. Let's begin with a word of prayer, then we'll begin to look at this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what you have for us this morning. And even though we are maybe not examining a particular passage of Scripture, we've looked at Psalm 96, and especially verse 3, that we want to declare your glory among the nations. Father, I pray that you would allow us as a corporate body of believers to live and to move in such a way that we allow your glory to be seen not only here in Caledonia, but around the world. We thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to be a part of some of the missionaries that we support and their financial resources, and helping them and encouraging them as they share the gospel around the world. Father, if our church is not functioning and moving forward as you desire it to, then those things have potential to go away, at least our ability to help in that area. Father, I pray that you would raise up in our church those who would continually strive to make you preeminent in their lives, and that you would continue, Jesus Christ would continue to be first and foremost in all that we do. We pray these things in your name. Amen. As I think about a church and any kind of organization, I know some pastors will do this and some will not take time to address a vision and a mission. But as you think about church and you think about the whole of where our church is going, or where we're trying to go to, I think it's important for us to keep in mind who we're actually striving to reach. And in my mind, how I view things is a lot of times looking into the toddler church. We looked at this morning in our prayers. To say in that room, and I appreciate those who are involved in that ministry and appreciate those who take time each week to participate in that. But in those rooms, those children that we have that are under the age of 5, who in just a few years will be teenagers and then will be out on their own, may we have a church that functions in such a way that as they grow up in this church, they would see Jesus Christ being preeminent in all that we do and say. That they would see our church functioning as it should. I think back to the church that I grew up in. I was telling somebody recently, or maybe a few people recently, I have never actually been in a church that has been growing. So this is a new thing where we are growing and we're seeing people come. The church that I grew up in really was about 300 or so when I was born, maybe 350, and by the time I hit 18, we were down to about 110 people or so, and it just was a steady decline the entire time. And so as we think about, when I think about growing up, and I think about church, and I think about challenges and difficulties that I experienced in church, my heart and my passion for those, especially in the toddler church, is that they would be able to grow up in a church that I know we're not perfect, but we at least have a desire and a focus on Jesus Christ that points us in that direction. And as John sang this morning, may all those who come behind us, may they find us faithful. My hope and my prayer is that those who are young in our church, those children that are in our church, when they're older as adults and they recount their life of growing up at Whitneyville, they may say, you know what, they weren't perfect, but they sought as a corporate whole, they sought to pursue Jesus Christ and Him alone. That should be our desire. That should be our goal. So we're going to be addressing several things this morning, and this will probably sound maybe a little bit more like a speech than anything. I've got a lot of stuff actually all written out. I usually don't manuscript everything, but so we'll kind of go through this process and reading through this and interacting a little bit as well. But some of you may recall 2 years ago, January 5th, 2014, we addressed the congregation, the church at that time, with the new vision and mission for Whitneyville Bible Church. And we really addressed at that time, if you recall, a lot of the things that had been going on at Whitneyville over the last 20 years or so. A lot of trouble, dissension, unrest for things that had been swept under the rug, things that had not been dealt with, things that had been maybe handled incorrectly at times. And we addressed several things that needed to take place, and part of that was we addressed our mission and our vision. So we addressed our mission as this: unconditionally loving God and others. That's our mission. Why do we exist? We exist to unconditionally love God and others. That's a difficult task. If we just stop right there and we spent the rest of our life trying to accomplish that, that would be a challenging task for us to accomplish. But our mission is to unconditionally love God and others. And we communicated that our vision was we would be a healthy church and we would have a blessed community. The belief is that if we are structured and we are functioning as we should, if our body is healthy, functioning together, striving together for the cause of Christ, then what is going to naturally happen is it's going to flow out into our community to share the gospel with those in our community. And we communicated our desire, that our desire was to be a people who did three things: who love God unconditionally, who share His love faithfully, and who show His grace consistently. Those were things that we addressed 2 years ago. We wanted to be this type of church: loving God unconditionally, sharing His love faithfully, and showing His grace consistently. And so to that end, we proposed several areas that we needed to work on, several areas that we needed to address, and things that we needed to make sure were happening. The first one was we wanted to have qualified elders who shepherded the congregation. We wanted to have servant-minded deacons who served the congregation. We wanted a leadership that encouraged, empowered, and equipped the congregation. And we wanted a congregation that joyfully submitted to the leadership, that all of us would work together. Elders functioning as they should, deacons functioning as they should, leadership that is encouraging and empowering the people of the congregation, and then a congregation that is joyfully submitting to their God-given leadership. We wanted a congregation who graciously and faithfully fulfilled the one another's of Scripture. Those of you that have been here on Sunday nights as we've gone through that series, the one another's, we want to be a congregation who faithfully and graciously fulfills that. Then we wanted to be a congregation that embraced, welcomed, and ministered to all generations of people. If you recall, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the median age of our congregation was a little bit older. And God has blessed, and God has brought to us younger families, and younger people, and older people. I'm excited when I see when we have membership and people joining or people coming from all ages. We're not just attracting only younger people. But we wanted to be a congregation that embraced, welcomed, and ministered to all generations of people. And we said that we wanted to be a congregation, a place where a 9-year-old and a 90-year-old could worship and serve side by side. And that right there is a difficult challenge in and of itself. A lot of churches are starting simply because the younger people in the church can't stand the older people, or the older people in the church can't stand the younger people. And there's a lot of churches that are just starting on that simple premise. We want a church for 20-year-olds, or we want a church for 70-year-olds. And our desire, because this is what heaven is going to be, is to look like heaven. Now, we're not in heaven, and this isn't heaven, but we want to be a place when people come that they can say, you know what, this is an example of what heaven is going to be like when there's all ages, all generations worshiping together. I know someone mentioned, well, what about the 8-year-olds and what about the 91-year-olds? Well, again, it's just a slogan and it kind of represents the whole of it. So if you're 8 and younger, don't be offended. And if you're 91 and older, don't be offended. Just rejoice. And we want to be a place where a 9-year-old and a 90-year-old can worship and serve side by side. And we wanted to be a place, a community that was actively engaged with the gospel and love of Christ. So that's what we proposed. That was a couple years ago, 2 years ago. Elders, deacons, congregation, all functioning as they should, and a community that is encouraged and engaged with the gospel and love of Christ. And we talked about at that time, there were several things that we committed to do. We committed to developing an elder care group. We committed to begin having roundtables for transparency in the relationship between leadership and congregation. We committed to having a transition team that would develop a process for identifying, training, and evaluating and installing elders and deacons. We were committed to finding a man to minister to our children and youth. And we were committed to completely redesigning our website and enhancing our virtual presence in the world. And so those were 2 years ago. Those were things that we talked about. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to accomplish. So last year, January 4th, 2015, we again addressed this matter of our vision and our mission. And so we reviewed from the year before what we accomplished and what we did. We reviewed how we had fulfilled our mission and vision from the previous year. What did we do? We began regular roundtable meetings. We reached into the community with a family fest. We implemented an elder selection process. We redefined the roles of the deacon. And we took a church mission trip to Kenya. You may not think of that last one as very significant, but I think it's probably one of the more significant things that we've done in our church, in engaging, in actively engaging in our missions ministry. And so we talked about that we needed to continue to work on different areas. We needed to increase the shepherding roles of the elders. We needed to further our relationship building outside the church by doing life together. We talked about needing to further our visibility in the community. We needed to continue to identify and disciple future leaders for both elders and deacons. And we needed to engage in mission work around the world and continue to engage the older generations with the younger generations. And we proposed 4 major areas last year that we would allow us to fulfill this. So what did we propose last year? We proposed a commitment to prayer and a focus on Christ. We proposed that we would have a commitment and a prayer and focus on Christ. And we talked about last year at this time having a prayer conference, a weekend teaching with Rick Cross. We also committed to engaging the younger generation to help with the outreach and ministry of Whitneyville. We committed to jump-starting the men's ministry and engaging in prayer, training, fellowship, and ministry service together. And finally, we committed to a vision team which would help to develop a master plan for the whole of the ministry. And if you remember, Ben came up last year and shared some of those thoughts and ideas in the vision team. So how did we do in 2015? As we look back over 2015, how did we do? What did we accomplish? Well, first of all, the vision team met and helped to design a master building plan for the church. They were instrumental in getting drawings worked up for the board to review, and the vision team was also responsible for identifying key components of the qualifications and scope of the director of family ministry position. We increased our focus on prayer by changing our worship service to include a specific time of prayer for local, state, federal leaders, area churches, area ministries, and chaplains. Some of you may wonder, why are we spending time in our services now praying for other churches, other ministries, other people? It's because of our mission and vision that we talked about last year, that we wanted to be a church who was going to commit to spending more time in prayer. And so that begins on a corporate level as well. We held a prayer conference with Rick Cross in November on corporate prayer to begin the understanding of corporate prayer and its functionality within the body. We intentionally engaged our younger generation families, and we have seen a marked increase in their leadership of key ministries. We combined our Family Fest with our Missions Conference this year, and we have seen a noticeable increase in the role of our younger families at Whitneyville. Then we also saw an increase in our men's ministry as well. We've had several cookouts, fellowships, and men's leadership retreat in October. And our men's ministry has seen an increase as well in our Sunday morning prayer time. And we continue to look for ways to engage our men in ministry opportunities for spiritual growth. Then we saw the church select and ordain its first lay elder under the new elder selection process. Currently, we have two men who are in the process of going through this selection to be an elder. God is clearly working and clearly providing for us in this way as we continue to move forward for His cause. So that's a review of the last 2 years. What's happened, what's taken place, what we have believed God wanted us to do, and how that has been fulfilled. God is working. God is doing a work at our church. And how do we continue to move forward for His cause? So the question now becomes, so what's in store for us moving forward? What do we hope to accomplish in this next year and then this next time frame as we continue to move forward? And several of these things we've already talked about at different levels throughout the year. We've already made mention of a lot of these different things as we've gone about our ministry this year, but we'll review them and we'll talk about them again this morning just so we're aware of what's transpiring and what's taking place. If you remember this summer, we did a video on worship, discipleship, and service. We talked about the fact that we wanted all of the congregation of Whitneyville to be engaged in these three touch points of ministry. We want them to see the value and the importance of worshiping together. And again, if you recall from the video we talked about, we understand that everything we do is worship. Everything, I'll do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do is to worship Him, is to glorify Him. But we want it to be a place and a church that valued the morning corporate worship time together, the once a week gathering of believers together, to have everyone who attends Whitneyville engaged in that. And we also talked about then our discipleship, that we wanted to be a church that was active in life-touching life, iron-sharpening iron relationships. It does us no good as a body if we don't engage with one another in relationships together. If we just simply come and we sit and we say, hey, how are you? Fine, thank you. And we say, don't ask me any other questions. And we just leave and we have no life engagement together. Our spiritual body, our spiritual life as a corporate body is going to be hindered. And so we wanted to focus on discipleship. And then we also wanted to focus in our area of service, that each person at Whitneyville would be able to use their gifts and passions that further the kingdom here at Whitneyville. So we desire for all of us to be engaged in worship, in discipleship, and in service. And there are those who are actively engaged in those. And there are those who are not actively engaged in our body. Our desire is that you, as individuals, would see the need and would see the burden from Scripture to say, I want to be engaged in corporate worship. I want to be engaged in life-touching life discipleship. I want to be engaged in serving, using my gifts and my passions for Christ. And then we've talked about the prayer and care ministry. So over this next year, we'll see more on the worship, discipleship, and service. But we've also talked about our prayer and care ministry. It has been mentioned on different occasions, probably not a ton in a public arena, but we've had a lot of discussion, especially among our full board, on this matter of how do we take care of one another? How do we care for the body that is part of Whitneyville Bible Church? How do we make sure that the body is taken care of, that we're growing spiritually, that our needs are being met and taken care of? And we're proposing to do this through a prayer and care ministry. What this prayer and care ministry will involve is intergenerational discipleship opportunities and our desire as well for corporate prayer to be emphasized and intentionally accomplished in the life of Whitneyville. So what do we desire? We desire a ministry that would allow us to have life-touching life relationships. Beyond the hi, how are you, fine, thank you, or, oh, you know, I think I know those people, I think maybe they attend our church. If you haven't noticed, Whitneyville is not a 10,000-member church. So there really should be no reason why the church of our size is not actively engaged with one another in a discipleship process. So our prayer and care ministry will be beginning this to accomplish this discipleship and this corporate prayer. We'll be going through some training, some accountability process between now and the end of March for several leaders that we've identified or that are willing to participate in this. And then at the end of March, probably the first part of April and May, we'll begin having these prayer and care ministries. Our desire is that they'll meet at different times, they'll meet at different opportunities that they have, but they will provide accountability, they will provide care, they'll provide corporate prayer for the body as a whole, but also for the individual prayer and care ministry groups as God allows. They will be intentional, meaning we will know and we will keep track of and we will be intentional in what is taught and what is taking place. It will be intergenerational, meaning we don't want groups that are just of the older people or just of the younger people. We want groups that are intergenerational. We want groups that are intentionally focused on corporate prayer, intentionally focused on discipleship through Bible study, and intentional in providing care and accountability for those within each group. I believe, and I think as others of the board and elders and deacons have talked about this, this will become the spiritual backbone of our church. Right now, we have a lot of people who love one another and we see each other and there's a lot of stuff that happens in serving together, but we want to make sure that our body is praying together, serving together, discipling together, growing together in the cause of Christ, and seeing corporate prayer especially as a priority. And so we plan to do some of this training through our Sunday nights through the next few months, and then moving into April and May, allowing those groups to begin. Then we have talked about and have mentioned, but we'll be continuing to talk about, our deacon selection and areas of responsibility, AORs. Some of you have served in the past as deacons, and you're aware that in a lot of cases you maybe got burned out and you got run over and left for dead in some cases because of all the burden and all the things that were placed upon you. Now, our current deacons have already begun to work on this, and the elders and deacons are working together to identify areas of responsibility for our deacons so that each deacon knows and understands what he's responsible for, what areas he's going to be over, what areas he will minister in. In order for us to adequately function properly as a church, we do need to have some organizational structure so that when we have an issue with the bus, or we have an issue with maybe a security issue, or we have some issue with benevolence, we know who to go to and who to talk to. That way, one particular deacon or one particular elder is not bombarded by everybody, but that all of us understand how we're to be shaped and structured and formed. So right now we've begun to identify six different areas of responsibility. These six so far are widows, benevolence, what we're calling PPE, plant, property, and equipment, safety and security, finances, and service logistics. So that way everyone knows who's responsible for what area. As we continue to grow, as we continue to see the need for our organizational structure to increase, the deacons and the elders will continue to work in this way together to allow us to come up with a solution to help fit the needs and fill the needs that we have in our church. And then speaking of our deacon selection, we have talked about this a little bit, but we have identified several components that we want to have a part of selecting new deacons. As we talk about this, as we look through this, what will it take to be a deacon? What do we want a future deacon to look like? As really the tension that exists right now, I don't know if it's a bad tension, but there is a tension that exists. If you talk to some of the deacons that are currently here, they're not exactly in their 20s anymore. That's just the way it is. Nothing against the older guys. But their desire, when you talk to them, is to say this: how do we bring along the younger guys? How do we allow the younger men to take over and to fulfill this role of a deacon? The challenge on the other side for the younger guys is we don't want to just simply drop something like being a deacon on their lap and say, we hope you figure it out. So we want to have a system in place that allows both the older and the newer guys to be able to come together, to be able to work together, to be able to become deacons in a proper manner where everyone understands what is expected, so that we don't do a bait and switch on the younger guys and say, you'll be okay, and then trust that they'll be okay. So as part of this process, the prospective deacon will go through a time of teaching that will be done by the elders. We've identified a couple of different areas that we'll be teaching on and instructing on, and then they will also go through a training time with the current deacons in order to have a good understanding of what is expected from a deacon. What makes a good deacon? What makes somebody who's going to serve in that capacity? And so our hope and our prayer is that by the beginning of September, we have men who are ready to go and ready to serve, and then we will continue a perpetual cycle, we hope, of men who are coming through the process, being trained, and being helped to become deacons. So our deacon selection process in AOR. Then also our building. One of the challenges that we are looking at facing, and it's not drastically clear this morning, but it is the first Sunday in January, so I know this is going to not be as emphatic as maybe it was a couple weeks ago. But our building, we need to talk a little bit about our building. Our auditorium currently holds 265 chairs. And as you know, as you're aware, our growth record, our track record is proving that we are continuing to grow, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see what God is doing. However, if you look at the whole of statistics of buildings, once a building is 80% full, people generally will stop coming. First-time visitors, new people will generally stop coming if they can't come in and find a spot to sit, if they can't come in and find somewhere to go. So I'm not saying that we need to build a building tonight or tomorrow, but we just need to simply be thinking about this. We need to be aware, because I think sometimes as a congregation, maybe we're not thinking through everything like this, like how many people are coming and what's going on, but we need to be aware of where we're at. So right now, at 80% capacity, our church would roughly seat 215 people. I believe it was 2 weeks ago, we had about 190 here, with about 30 or 40 of our regulars that weren't here. What does this mean? This means that if everybody shows up, which doesn't usually happen, but if everybody shows up, we are at capacity level at 80%. That doesn't mean that there's not empty seats available, but according to statistics, we're at an 80% level, and people are generally going to not be as excited or not interested as coming. And so we need to begin to think about this. We need to begin to think about what are we going to do and what are our possibilities. If we continue the growth track that God has allowed us to be on, what are we going to do? There's three different things that we can look at. My guess is if God continues to allow growth to take place, again, the emphasis is on God. If he allows the growth to continue, the growth is not dependent upon me, it's not dependent upon you, it's dependent upon God as God gives the increase. If God continues to allow us to grow, as God continues to allow us to minister into the community, my guess is by the end of this year, by the end of 2016, we will need to do one of these three things. First of all, we'll either need to have the kids go directly to junior church and toddler church to free up some space. It's a blessing to see when we dismiss a junior church, all the kids get up and leave. That's a blessing for us. But it also allows us to see there's seats that are being taken. Maybe part of the thing that we'll need to look at in 2016 is having them take off to junior church at the beginning. The second thing that we can look at is the possibility by the end of 2016 that we may need to look at two services. You say, well, Dave, I'm looking around on January 3rd, and we're not at 80% full. I don't know how many we have today, but this is a holiday weekend and a little bit different. But if we continue as we're going over this next year, that is a possibility of something that we will have to look at. Or the third thing that we can do, and I'm not saying that this is what we have to do either, we can aggressively explore the expansion of the building, which you've already gotten estimates on, we already have drawings for. Whatever the case is, we need to pray about this and say, what does God desire for us to do? What does God want us to accomplish here at Whitneyville? How do we continue to move forward for his cause? Those of you that work with Awana and on Wednesday nights, you understand that our building is at capacity on Wednesday nights with the kids that we run as well. The next area is not really an area, but it's a person. It's Larry. He can kind of be an area. I look at his family. He can be an area. Larry, I cannot begin to express how grateful I am. I appreciate him, appreciate what he's doing, and appreciate Larry being here. I think in the 5 months that he's been here, he's proven to be the man that God has desired for us to have. He's done a great job with our kids, a great job with the families and the different ministries. Some, I'll just stop right here and address an issue, not an issue, a question I know some people have, is why don't I refer to him as Pastor Larry? It's not because I don't like him or I don't think he's competent. That's nothing to do with it at all. The issue is we're trying to be consistent in our process of eldership to say we believe elders and pastors are the same thing. Right now, we haven't had a Larry go through officially our elder selection process. That's what he's in the middle of doing, and you'll see more about that in a couple of weeks. But that's why, if you notice, maybe somebody would say, well, Pastor Dave should call him Pastor Larry. Well, if we bring him through the elder selection process, you'll probably see more of that. But there is no offense to be taken on Larry's behalf that somehow we deem him to be less of a person because we haven't called him Pastor Larry. But that'll be a process as he goes through the elder selection process. But Larry has a passion for Christ. If you've spent any time with him, he has a passion for Christ. He has a passion for the spiritual health and growth of our children, our youth, our families at Whitneyville. And as you know, we brought him on a part-time level. And over the course of this next year, especially as we look into September and the new budget year for 2016-2017, one of the things that we need to proactively and methodically do is to move him into a full-time position. The issue is not amount of work. In fact, I have a lot more stuff that I would love Larry to be involved in, but we're trying to balance his family with his needs, with his situation that he has. So it's not a thing about, well, when we get enough work for him to do, then we should bring him on full time. The work is currently there. The help is currently there to be needed to be done. We need to be careful, though, in how we operate with Larry so that we don't burn him out. I've talked about this with him quite often. He always tells me that he's not going to be burnt out because he's doing what he loves, which I know he's doing that. But the reality is he has a family, four kids, and we need to make sure that we're mindful of that. We need to make sure that we are allowing us as a church to do what is right and what is best by him. And as we continue to move forward, allowing us to bring him to from a part-time to a full-time position. Then our giving. It's the area nobody likes to talk about. But our giving, as we continue to grow, as we continue to move forward, we have the growing financial need of our ministry. And really, as we've talked about, two things already, the building and Larry. If we're going to talk about expanding a building in the future, if we're going to talk about bringing Larry into a full-time position, that means money. And here's the beauty of money, is that none of us have it and God has it all. Sometimes when we think about money, we look at our own wallet and we say, well, I don't have any, so no money for the church or no increase or no whatever. We have to understand that God is the author and the giver of everything, including our finances. And so as we think through this, as we process through this, how does this look? How do we increase our giving? How do we allow God to work in our church in such a way that our giving will be what it needs to be? We need to look at the fact that Jesus Christ must be preeminent, that he owns everything. So everything I get belongs to him, and he has asked me to be faithful in giving back to him as he has given to me. And so as we think through our giving process, as we think through the process of our giving, each one of us being faithful to give, each one of us being faithful to allow God to use us as he sees fit. Some of the challenges that we face in our giving that I don't know how much of as a congregation as a whole we're aware. If you've noticed, Steve got up a few weeks ago and mentioned about our general fund was doing well and our missions was down. And here's what sometimes happens. You'll know if I'm trying to be offensive. I'm not trying to be offensive on any level. So talking about money gets people a little nervous. But here's what happens. Is we hear something like, our general fund is good and our missions is down. And if you talk to the deacons and Steve, who counts the money, they'll tell you what happens is this. When people hear that, they will take their money that they were designating to the general fund and they will shift it over to the missions. So then what happens the next week? Our general fund is down and our missions is back up to doing okay. So what needs to happen in order for us to continue to go on is this. I don't know how much we've talked about our missions giving. I feel like we talk about it regularly, but maybe we haven't talked about it enough. Our missions giving is over and above our general fund. So when you see our general fund need, which I think is $250,000 in that ballpark somewhere, Steve's not reacting too much, so I must be in the general ballpark. It's about $250,000. Our missions budget is about 35. Is that right, Tom? Roughly 35 or so. So that 35 is in addition to the general fund. So there are some who say, well, I give my tithe. I give whatever God has laid on my heart to give. That goes to the general fund. Our missions is over and above that. So today, when Ed got up and talked about today as our missions giving Sunday, that's the Sunday that we really designate as our giving to missions. Everything that we bring in throughout the course of the year designated to missions goes towards that $35,000. That's not pulled out of the general fund. So when we think about it as two separate categories, we need to understand that if you're going to tithe and you give to the general fund, that's where we believe tithes go. That's where our tithe goes, to the general fund. Our giving above that is to missions. So that way we don't have this constant fluctuation. If you watch the numbers, oftentimes you'll see this kind of up and down, where our general fund will be doing okay, and then our missions fund will be doing okay, and our general will be down. And we kind of go like this throughout the course of the year. What I've been told here is that don't worry, in the end it all washes out, which in the 2 years that I've been here, it has. In the meantime, those who are responsible for counting the money, the deacons, and namely Steve, who's responsible for a lot of it, can have some anxiety as we go through the course of the year as we see this process happening. So missions giving is separate than general fund. We need to make sure that we're aware of that. We need to make sure that if we're giving to missions, that's separate than our tithe that's going to the general fund. But we need to begin thinking about this and praying about this. If we're going to increase for building, if we're going to increase for Larry, if we're going to increase for other ministries as they come along, then we need to make sure that we are giving as God intends us to give. Then a time of transition. A time of transition. So we've talked about six different things, but now a time of transition. We've really, I think, spent the first 2 years that I've been here really dealing with leadership. If you've been aware of much that we've dealt with and talked about, it's been a lot about elders and deacons, making sure that we have the right men in place, that they're qualified, that they're ministering, that they're serving, that they're making sure everything is functioning from a leadership standpoint. And over the course of this next year, I believe the deacons will be able to get things in place along with the elders to make sure that our deacons and all that stuff is processing as it should. But I really feel that over the next probably 3 years, we are transitioning out of focusing so much on our leadership to now focusing on the spiritual growth and health of our church as we continue to grow. And so as we think about that, we're going to propose several different areas in which we need to constantly be thinking about ways that we can grow spiritually. We have talked about this before. Age does not necessarily equate to spiritual maturity. That goes both ways. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're spiritually immature. Just because you're older doesn't mean that you're spiritually mature. So as we think about our church, as we now focus, take our focus off of leadership, elders, deacons, which has been a primary focus over these last 2 years, as we take our focus off of that more and we put it now onto spiritual health and spiritual growth of our church, these are areas that we need to be thinking about and areas that we need to be addressing. First of all, from being trained to training. From being trained to training. Those of you who have been at Whitneyville for years know that there have been several times when we have had to use the services of other people from the outside to come and help us. That we have had to use the services of people to come and negotiate and facilitate and do different things to help us. And our goal over the next 3 years is to transition from being the ones who need to have all of the help from the outside to being those who are sending out to help others. So from being trained to training. In fact, in September, as part of our men's ministry, we'll be hosting a Western Michigan Leadership Conference in conjunction with IBL. And this will allow us to help train other leaders in the West Michigan area. They're hoping and planning between IBL's contacts, between our contacts of our churches. We're hoping to have about 200 men that will come in September for a weekend of training on leadership. So instead of us needing to be the ones who are trained and taught necessarily, we're now allowing our church and our resources to be used for other people as well. That doesn't mean that we don't need to continue to be taught and trained. The men, the leaders, will be attending a conference and April, we'll also be taking a men's conference in February to Grand Haven, so there's opportunities for men to continue to be involved in training and being taught, but we need to have our focus now on helping to train others. The second area that we need to focus on is from being consumers to being suppliers. Instead of being Whitneyville being a church where we cling tightly to our resources, our staff, our deacons, our elders, we want to be a place that begins to say, you know what, how can we help? One of the things that I'm excited to see, and I think it's going to happen in the next year or so, is that as other churches hear and see what we've been able to go through, we'll be able to say, you know what, could you send a couple of your deacons to come and help us? Could you send maybe one of your elders to come and help us? There's a lot of churches who need help and encouragement and allowing them to be able to be taught and trained and to be able to say, here's what worked for us, here's what we did. And so our goal over the next 3 years is to say we want to be a church that is supplying help to other churches. That we're not just looking at things saying, we only want our people here, but we want to say, how can we see our people going out and ministering to other people? So from being consumers to being suppliers. And then from being followers to being leaders. One of the challenges that we have at Whitneyville, we have a great blessing in this. We have a great blessing in that people enjoy serving at Whitneyville. If somebody were to ask me what I thought Whitneyville does really well at, it's not the only thing we do really well at, but we do really well, I think, at serving. A lot of people love to help. They love to minister. They love to serve. But the challenge that we have is there's not a lot of people who want to be in charge of anything and to lead particular things. And so over the next 3 years, we want to focus ourselves on from being followers to being leaders, to being people who say, you know what, I may not have all of the abilities, I may not have all of the knowledge I need to have, but I'm willing to take leadership of an area or a ministry or a group or whatever it may be, and I'm willing to kind of spearhead that. Those of you that have done that, you understand there are challenges that come with that. I think that's why people don't really like to do that, because there's headaches and there's difficulties that come. But we desire a church that is filled with leaders as opposed to those who will just simply follow. And then from being introverted to being extroverted. Let me explain what we mean by that. From being introverted to being extroverted. We have spent the last 2 years and probably a lot of this next year focused on ourselves. How do we structure ourselves? How do we organize ourselves? How do we function ourselves? And now our desire is to say, let's go from being focused inward to now let's focus outward. How do we take the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how do we impact our community? We have not done a lot of community outreach in the last few years. That has not been a lot of our focus of a lot of external outreach into our community. And our desire over the next 3 years is to say, let's transition from being focused inwardly to being focused outwardly, from being focused on ourselves and our structure to now being focused on how we can, by God's grace, allow this community to be blessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another area that we want to see growth in is from being satisfied to being stretched. As we've talked about, even a little bit in the giving, as we've talked about with bringing Larry onto a full-time position, as we've talked about some of these other areas, what does that mean? That means that I have to be willing to be stretched. I have to be willing to allow God to use me in ways that I may not want to be used, or I need to be allow God to use me in ways that I don't necessarily feel comfortable in, but I'm allowing Him to stretch me, whether that's in my service, whether that's in my ministry, whether that's in my giving, whatever it may be, I'm allowing God to stretch me. And so we want to go from, hey, we're kind of satisfied, well, this is within our means of what we can do, to saying, you know what, I want to be stretched. I want God to stretch my faith. I want Him to stretch my abilities. I want Him to stretch my desires to say, I want to do things for His cause that I probably wouldn't have done if somebody hadn't challenged me. So being satisfied from being satisfied to being stretched. And then another area that we'd like to see attention brought to is from being non-members to members. We've talked a little bit about membership. And you may say, well, why is membership so important? Membership allows accountability. A membership allows for identification. You're allowing yourself to identify with the body of Christ. You're allowing yourself to be held accountable within the body of Christ. And you show responsibility to the body of Christ. So some people may say, well, I can serve and I can minister and I can do all this stuff and I don't need to be a member. So Dave, why do you constantly talk about joining Whitneyville Bible Church? Because Scripture seems to be pretty clear in the fact that we identify with the body, we allow ourselves to be held accountable to the body. One of the challenges that we face as elders, I face, especially as the lead pastor, is to say this: who am I responsible to shepherd? Who am I? Who does God hold me responsible to shepherd? Does he hold me responsible to shepherd someone who attends maybe once every 2 months? Am I responsible to shepherd that person? How do I know who I'm supposed to shepherd? How do I know what to do in the shepherding process? And part of that is to say, you know what? We want to identify with the cause of Jesus Christ here at Whitneyville, and we want to allow ourselves to be held accountable in this process. And then finally, from potentially destructive relationships to edifying relationships. From destructive relationships to edifying relationships. Over the course of the next 3 years, we hope to make some gains in spiritual growth in this area. What does this entail? First of all, it entails this: living daily with the realization that Jesus Christ is preeminent. How do I have an edifying relationship? How do I have a relationship that is going to be discipleship-based, a gospel-oriented, life-touching life, iron sharpening iron? I live, first of all, with the realization that Christ is preeminent. We've looked at this, but we can look at it again. In the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, Paul addresses this. We looked at this even just a few weeks ago as we were going through our Healthy Church series. But Colossians chapter 1, Paul addresses in verse 15 this matter of the preeminence of Christ, where he says this: he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So how does our body go in a healthy process, a spiritually mature process? How do we go from relationships that tend to be or can be destructive to relationships that are edifying? We first of all live daily with the realization that Christ is preeminent. Second of all, we have a commitment to the body as opposed to a commitment to self. What do I mean by that? I had a discussion with somebody who's not part of our church, not even lives in the state, just recently, where they said to me this: I go to a church, and as I attend that church, I analyze everything they do, and the second they do something I don't like, I'm out of there and I go to a different church. That's not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity says, you know what, we're going to work through this, we're going to talk through this, we're going to process through this. Is it difficult to do that? Yes, especially in an area like Grand Rapids, where there's lots of other churches around. And it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, if they do something we don't like, you know what? I'm going to take off and leave and go somewhere else. We're raising 3 children right now. There are times where I have that same thought in my own family. I want to take off and go somewhere else. But I've made a commitment that we're going to work through this, right? The same works in a church. That's hard to do. And so as we think about spiritual maturity, as we think about growing in our relationship with Christ, we want to say, you know what, I want to be committed to the body as opposed to just committed to myself. Now, if I get up and I start preaching about work salvation, or if we start teaching doctrine that is heretical, you know what, how about be committed to the body of Christ so much that you get rid of me or whoever it is that's teaching that? But we're committed to the body. We're not simply consumers who sit there and say, you know what, everything is about me and you better do what I want, or I'm going to take my ball or my bat and I'm going to leave. We're committed to the body as opposed to committed to ourselves. And then number 3, handling the challenges of our personal relationships in a biblical manner. One of the things I know happens, because we're humans, is we live together. My wife and I have lived together now for 17 and a half years. It'll be 18 years in August. We have our challenges. I know, it's hard to believe, but we do. And most of it is probably because of me. And what do we need to do? We need to work through our relationship in a biblical manner. What happens? Michael talked about this morning in Sunday school. If I'm thinking about my wife respecting me and going through that whole process, now I'm starting to demand it, all those types of things. When we think about this in a church context, there are challenges that will occur. They occur regularly. But what does a spiritually mature person do? A spiritually mature person will say, you know what? It may be hard, it may be tough, but I'm going to work through this process. I'm going to work through the challenge of these relationships. I'm going to go to a person if they've offended me and talk to them. I'm going to take up my offense with that person personally, not go to somebody else. And so we allow ourselves to grow in a spiritual manner. We allow ourselves to graciously and humbly address situations as they occur. And we allow ourselves to grow. So that's our vision. That's a lot to take in. We'll send out a copy if you're interested on email. You can see basically what we've just gone through. All of our snowbirds will receive a copy of this so that they're aware and they're being communicated with. But our desire is to move from a standpoint of, okay, we've been focused on our structure these last couple of years. We still have some things to take care of. We have some building things to look at. We have some deacon things to look at. We have Larry to look at. We have our giving and all those different things that we still have to deal with this next year. But over the course of these next 3 years, we want to start thinking about how does a spiritually mature body deal with things. And a spiritually mature body is one that's going to grow in their own relationship with Christ. They're going to grow in their relationship with others. And that is going to overflow into the community that God has sent us to minister to. If you're unaware, some of you may not live in Caledonia specifically. I know we're technically Alto, but Caledonia is growing. The building at the high school, the houses that are proposed to be going in here, I believe someone told me the last number I heard was 50 houses right across from the elementary school up here. The community is growing around us. It's just going to naturally occur. Our desire is that we would be structured and functioning in such a way that we would be a healthy church for this community to be able to come and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. We exist to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this community, with the world that God has allowed us to be a part of. And so if we're not doing that, if we're spiritually immature, if we're not functioning as we should, if we're destroying each other in our relationships, that's going to impact the gospel as our ability to deliver it and share it. And so our goal, our hope, our desire is that we would be a church who is committed to unconditionally loving God and others. And we would be a church that is committed as a vision to being healthy and then having a blessed community as a result. Is it hard to be a church? Yes. Last Sunday, we attended Kenwood Baptist Church. One of the pastor of the church was a professor I had in school, Southern Baptist Church, Kenwood Baptist Church. I think it was the first time in about 4 years that I have gone to church and not done something. I wasn't speaking, I just simply went to church. And as I was sitting there, it was amazing to me how refreshing church can actually be. And sometimes I know I lose sight of that. As you struggle through the demands and the challenges of a diverse group of people and life and society and all that life has to offer, it's easy for us to forget why we're here. And to say, you know what, we want to make sure that we come, that we are part of a family that is healthy, that is functioning as it should, that is loving God as it should, that is loving others as it should. May we be a healthy church that is blessing the community that is around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God has great things in store. 2 years ago, I stood here and said, I believe God has great things in store, and God has done great things in these last several years. And I believe God has great things still to continue to do. It requires each one of us to make sure that we are daily living with the fact that Christ is preeminent and I am not, and to daily say, I'm going to commit myself to Him and not to myself, that allowing Him to use us as He sees fit. It's exciting to me to see what God is doing. It's exciting to see where God is taking us, how God is stretching us. I know some may say, well, these changes and all these things must be easy for you. They're not any easier for me than they are for you. But if we're going and we do what God desires us to do, Jesus Christ being the head of the church, if we do what He desires us to do, He will provide and He will supply for us as He leads us. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have the team come back up, and we're going to sing our final song this morning. Father, thank you so much for today. Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts and our minds as we think about you, as we think about our church, the vision and the mission. Father, this morning we haven't addressed an expository message dealing with some passage of Scripture, but rather these things are dealing with how we function and how we live. Father, I pray that you would allow each one of us to be a spiritually mature believer. Help us to grow in you in Christ's likeness. Help us to grow together as a family. Help us to minister together. Help us to keep our focus on you and not on ourselves. Father, I pray that you would use Whitneyville Bible Church through the imperfect, flawed human beings that all of us are. May you be glorified in the fact that you used us to reach the unsaved world here in Caledonia and around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may you receive all of the glory and all of the honor in our lives and in our church. We pray these things in your name. Amen.